You're listening, hopefully, to 104.3 FM WQAM, Miami sports leader. You might be listening on the AM. AM still exists. Might be listening on the app. Maybe you're time shifting. You're on the podcast. However you're listening, we appreciate it. But if you're not yet aware, we are on the FM dial now. Again, 104.3 FM WQAM. Nice to be on the FM. Before we get headlines here for the 4 o'clock hour, let's give you another training camp report. Those are sponsored by Miami-Dade County Public Schools Technical Colleges. MDCPS Technical Colleges offer over 60 affordable accredited programs, day or evening, hands-on training aligned with local employers. Call 305-558-8000 or visit careerinayear.com and launch your future today. Again, you can look at any of the beat writers' tweets today to get kind of a play-by-play of what happened at practice today. Joe Shad did a good job putting it all together. But I did see a tweet. I can't remember who put it out there, but it was Jack Jones speaking with the media today. And he said, yeah, I got cooked by Amon-Ra St. Brown in Detroit. I like that. I like a guy who's like, yeah, I got cooked. I mean, you know, I can't spin it any other way. So he said, yeah, I got cooked. I'm getting better. Oh, it was on David Fiorona's Twitter account. You can see kind of the entire back and forth. If you check out David Fiorona's on Twitter, you'll see Jack Jones being a stand-up dude saying, yeah. And by the way, I said, not yesterday, I was off the day before, like, I'm on Ross St. Brown. He'll cook the best of them. So you don't have to feel too bad.
He's all pro, but it just, we're going to see a lot of all pros this year. So I love that Jack Jones, so like, it's funny, the Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, those tight end, the tight end thing with me, like just to accept it where, don't put me on that guy. Like, he's a better football player. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a better receiver than most cornerbacks are at their job. So
correct.
Jack accepting that is probably good, and he probably should have turned to Anthony Weaver at some point and said, hey, coach, I need a little help over here. I need to send somebody over here.
I'm a poster out here. I'm literally a poster.
we need a little help.
Can you help a brother out?
help a brother out over here because this dude is very good. But it's good that he accepted that. And
I love that.
They've been looking at cornerbacks. Like we talked about with Matthew Judon, it doesn't exclude a cornerback, and they need to add somebody here coming up soon.
All right, let's do headlines here for the 4 o'clock hour with Solana, brought to you by Doral Kia. Choose from over 500 new Kias in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
There was an interesting comment from the Jaguars head coach, Liam Cohen. And there's a lot of storylines going into tomorrow.
Duval.
It's funny, I said Liam Cohen. I'm not certain that's his name. I just know him as.
I don't think it is.
It is.
Duval.
He's Liam Cohen.
Yeah. Duval.
We were just in Jacksonville, and that's why I know. It is Liam Cohen.
Is Fred like the king of Jacksonville?
Oh, my goodness gracious. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter, Ava, beautiful, amazing. I love her to death. The girls are something special, and Ava's amazing. I think she likes Fred more than me. I always said I wanted boys and I had a girl and I just love Ava to death. And whenever Fred's around, she lights up and I'm like, what about daddy? I'm daddy.
Oh, he's like, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I like Fred better than you too. Yeah.
I believe everybody might like Fred more than me. my baby, Ava. Have you a daughter, Solana? They're amazing. Well, you might not be able to make babies, but if adopt one, maybe.
It seems like more trouble than it's worth, man. Girl or boy.
Huck, I said it. I said I want 10 boys my whole life.
Yeah,
I want 10 sons.
Boys are easier.
They're easier, but the daughters, like, they really love you. Like, little Chan doesn't care if I come home or not.
She likes Fred.
Well, she likes me at a 9 of 10. She likes Fred at 10 of 10.
I know who else loves Fred Taylor more than you. The CEO of New Era. Because, man, does he like hats, bro. Man, does he love a hat, bro. I've never seen him without a hat. Great.
Fred has a – he has a room he made into a closet with a padlock on it for his shoes and hats.
That's cool. It's
crazy. Fred got a little more money than me. I'll tell
Fred
you.
Fred did all right. Fred did all right.
Fred did okay.
It's like the White House nowadays. It's a gift shop. You just get your red MAGA hat, the White House.
He set up. His like for his sons, like their birthdays, they'll be like, "Hey, Daddy, can I go in your closet and pick out something?"
That's funny, man. Yeah, that's when you know you got something.
Yeah. Fred got a little something going on over there in the ranches.
Fred ain't hanging around with the pivot crew just for the money.
I like the money.
I know. Fred likes the camaraderie.
So when is that check coming from FanDuel?
So Duval. This was his quote talking about, I think this was yesterday. I read it in Jacksonville.com, which is a funny name for a website. But
this is a funny name.
Quote, "We spoke this morning," meaning Liam Cohen and Mike McDaniel. "We spoke this morning. I mean, it'll be very similar to our practices," about tomorrow's joint practice. "They've already had a few, especially a few physical ones. So not sure it'll be maybe as much as we fully would like in terms of that, because we're on different schedules than them." So he's basically saying, like, he spoke to McDaniel and they don't anticipate tomorrow's joint practice to be a very physical joint practice. I don't know. I just found that interesting.
It sounds like McDaniel said to him, "Hey, we're ready to throttle it back because we had some physical practices already. We're going into preseason game 3. We've kind of got our bleep figured out, and we're not looking to do anything hardcore."
But Travis Hunter's about to line up in front of Tyreek Hill at some point, and they got to get after it. That's testosterone's going to come out.
Darren Waller's going to run some dude over.
I don't know if they're going to do, you know, the 9-on-17 run banging, but they're going to be some confident athletes going against each other, and they're going to have to get after it. So I can't wait. I can't wait for that. I hope Travis Hunter walks up on Tyreek or Waddle.
I don't know if he's going to practice Travis Hunter.
What about Tyreek? Tyreek and Waddle going to practice?
Tyreek's dealing with that oblique injury. Waddle, I don't know if he practiced today. I got to double check. But Tyreek probably is not, man. Like, he's just been on the side with the jugs machine dealing with the oblique injury.
Oblique.
And Devon Achane.
I oblique out Saturday night. Played on Sunday.
Well, isn't Tyreek just recently divorced? I mean, he's putting those obliques to work, I'm sure, man. I got to check if – did you see anything about Waddle today, Hawk?
I didn't see anything –
I'll double check just to make sure. I know yesterday he was limited in practice.
Yeah. And the with Patrick Paul and Austin Jackson, they got some pass rushers in Jacksonville. Well, Allen, that DN Allen, he can go. So it's gonna be some cool one-on-ones, even if they don't go full tilt.
Yeah, it looks like Waddle practice. Yeah. Jalen Waddle practice, Tyreek Hill did not practice. Aaron Brewer was in the orange jersey. And obviously Devon Achane did not practice either. They're really going to be cautious with him because of the calf injury. We know that from McDaniel a couple days ago. And Kenneth Grant was not at practice either, but doesn't seem like there's any word on why he was absent.
Oversized obliques.
I'm reading a story here from Joe Shad in the Palm Beach Post. It says, a reporter asked Miami Dolphins edge rusher Matthew Judon about enjoying the views in South Florida. "It's about the work," Judon said. Perfect response. "It ain't about, you know, kind of coming down here and enjoying myself and relaxing," Judon said. Judon recently turned 33 years old. He's got no time to waste. Judon did not come here because of weather, the beach, the taxes, or the view. "So it's about the work," Judon repeated, "and hurrying up and getting acclimated." Joe Shad writes, "Judon appears to be a deadly serious dude." I like the deadly serious dudes.
He gonna be at Sexy Fish in no time. Come on, Judon.
That's the work he's talking about. That's about the work.
Gecko, here I come. Come on, man.
Matthew Judon's career NFL earnings, $74 million. Let's just say the views come to him. He's not going out to look for him.
Joe Shad writes, after Judon had wrapped up his introductory news conference, I snuck in one extra question. How did you go from Division II to 72 career NFL sacks, I asked. Bleep, I'm a dog, boy, Judon said and walked away.
I like this guy.
That's a great line.
I'm going to Tootsie's tonight. I'll see him upstairs.
All right. Anything else, Solana?
Just some other local stuff. The Marlins lost last night. They're going to try to avoid a sweep tonight against the St. Louis Cardinals, 6:40 p.m. And Inter Miami, they play Tigres tonight. Leagues Cup quarterfinals, 8 p.m. at Chase Stadium. Messi might not play tonight. Your weather,
all right.
Your weather, it is 90 degrees still in South Florida, 92, actually, according to my Apple Watch. The lows will be in the upper 70s. Gentlemen, that is your weather.
All right, don't go anywhere. We have Marlins tickets still to give away before 6 o'clock. A lot of Marlins, a lot of Dolphins talk, and probably need to get into Canes Notre Dame as well because we're inching up close on that. So don't go anywhere. We'll come back after this.
A lot of Apple Watch talk, too.
What happened? Your Apple Watch talk?
According to my Apple Watch. Get out of here, man. Well,
I got the weather on my Apple Watch. What do you want me to tell you?
My Apple Watch.
Is that what I wasn't even listening to. Is that what you said? According to my Apple Watch?
According to my Apple Watch. 92 degrees.
Yeah. Never heard Craig Setzer or Brian Norcross say that. Julie Durda.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
Socrates once said, you don't know what your body can do until it does it.
Excellent song choice, Jimmy, for National Radio Day. You know who this is, Solana?
You, Hawk. I love Donna Winter.
Stick with what works, man. Like the old Hall & Oates bit.
I love Donna Winter.
Happy National Radio Day, everybody. I could not be more happy about doing radio with three other guys than you. I mean that.
Hey, that was sweet. I was with Stugatz today.
He texted me. He thinks you are brilliant.
Is he in there? And he was like, yeah, now you're being nice. And he was like, yeah, you and Hawk were. I was like, bro, Hawk is a genius at this stuff. So I really enjoy it.
I appreciate that. He told me he had asked me like, hey, where's something I could go with him that would be interesting? And I said, ask him about seeing Bill Parcells naked. I go, that'll delight you.
Y'all are so funny because I try to get into football. I tried to get into, Anthony Richardson, Tim Tebow, experience. Hey, so were you naked with Bill Parcells somewhere? Oh, the hell with this football stuff. Let's talk about the good stuff.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah, go right for the meat. We don't need any appetizers here, sir. Just bring us the T-bone.
Yeah. So, yeah, me and Bill Parcells were naked together. It's weird.
Your Odyssey Sports Training Camp coverage is brought to you nationally by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico. Chris Perkins just put this out in the Sun Sentinel. He writes, has anything changed with the Dolphins' backup QB situation? And he writes, I put Miami Dolphins offensive coordinator Frank Smith on the spot Tuesday and probably shouldn't have. I wanted an update on the backup quarterback situation between Zach Wilson and Quinn Ewers. As a veteran reporter, I know the backup quarterback issue is a question for the coach, Mike McDaniel. But McDaniel isn't scheduled to speak until Thursday prior to the joint practice against Jacksonville, and then not again until after Saturday night's preseason finale against the Jags. No coaches were scheduled to speak Wednesday, so I sought an answer Tuesday when Smith spoke. Yes, I simply could have waited until Wednesday's practice, during which it was apparent nothing has changed from the Chicago and Detroit preseason games, and nothing has changed since the last time this question was posed. As a reminder, the last time the question was posed, McDaniel said Wilson was the number two behind Tua. Zach is the backup quarterback, McDaniel said on July 30th, and it's up to players to adjust to that. So far, Perk writes, it seems no adjustment has been made. The order apparently remains the same. And I agree, Chris Perkins writes, with that pecking order. Wilson number two, Ewers number three. He says, here are some of the stats through two preseason games. Wilson is 20 of 32 for 247 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions, 96.7 passer rating. He's been sacked five times. Ewers is 16 of 35 for 207 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, 83.9 passer rating. He's been sacked two times. For the record, neither quarterback had a great day Wednesday. Both had a fumble. Wilson, the number two pick of the 2021 draft by the Jets, had a fumbled exchange with running back Ollie Gordon that Gordon scooped up. It was hard to tell who was at fault. Ewers, the seventh round pick from Texas, fumbled a snap from center, but neither quarterback had a bad day Wednesday. Ewers threw a sweet deep ball for about 35 yards to wide receiver A.J. Henning that landed in the perfect spot. Wilson hit running back Mike Boone with a perfectly thrown pass for about 20 yards on a skinny post. But Wilson was more productive and ran the offense more efficiently, and he seemed to get more snaps, especially in the red zone drill. Time is running out for Ewers to make a move. The Dolphins have Thursday's joint practice against Jacksonville, Saturday's preseason finale, and then it's on to September 7th and the season opener at Indianapolis. He writes a little bit more, and he says, to me, Wilson has been the better quarterback. As for the bigger question, are the Dolphins better at backup quarterback this season than they've been in McDaniel's previous three seasons? I don't know.
Well, first off, it's always the quarterback's fault when there's a bad handoff because all you have to do is put it in his stomach. Like, it's almost like passing the ball, like, but it's closer. Like, put the damn ball right where he wants it, put it in his chest, put it in between his arms. So that's his fault. But the thought is, yeah, Zach Wilson, is it amazing? Is it great? No. Am I more excited about him than Skylar Thompson? Yes. Because Skylar, we never saw him. That's the thing. You never know what a guy can do until he does it. And I've seen Zach hold down games. Zach has some wins under his belt. So, yeah, Quinn Ewers could be like a Skylar Thompson, get in the game and nut up and not know what to do. And we watched him last year get in that game. We saw Skylar get in the game and not know what to do, and it was too big for him. I don't know what's going on. It won't be too big for Zach Wilson. So I'm with that. I would have Zach start no matter what Quinn does. Let him see the game. Let him get on his legs under him, whatever it is. But I would like, if Tua was to go down, knock on every damn wood you can. If you're at home, knock on wood right now. But if Tua goes down, I think Zach should be the backup.
Yeah. What if like, does it matter when the injury were to happen? Like, when this hopefully never happens, but if when this scenario actually happens throughout the season? Because what if the Dolphins don't start out great, Crowder? What if the Dolphins struggle out of the gate and it's just kind of not the best start to the season, and then Tua were to have to miss some games? Again, knock on wood. Like, is Zach Wilson going to salvage your season? Probably not. Wouldn't you rather know what you have in Quinn Ewers?
At 2-9?
I don't know, 2-9, but I'm just saying,
Quinn Ewers in the damn game.
I mean, 2-9, Tua may just lose the job outright. He doesn't even get injured.
Like, if you're somewhere around 500, like you're saying, like 8-9-8, 10-6, so 10-7, something like that, like, that's a playoff team. If you're not in playoff contention, right, yes, you put the puppy in the game. Put Quinn Ewers in the damn game. You wasted it. I don't say wasted. You used the draft pick on him. Put him in the game. But if you're in contention at any point, shape, or form, and Tua goes down, you put Zach Wilson in the game.
Hopefully, this is just radio nonsense. because I don't want to have that conversation at any point during the season. That does not jibe with the way I have this season playing out in my head.
Tua's 5 years in. He's played one full season. Just doing the numbers, there is a large probability that he misses a game this year.
But narrow it. Out of the last two seasons, 50% of the time he plays the entire season. That's the way you look at things.
I'll do it to you. There's a 50-50 chance that he misses a game this season.
But if you look at two seasons and you say that he plays all the games all season in alternating seasons, this would be the season that he plays all games.
You know what? I love your approach. I really enjoy your outlook.
Naturally positive guy. Just a positive guy.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I have this fantasy, I've had this for years, of becoming obese and bedridden and just watching TV all day and having people bring me food. Remind me to give away the Marlins tickets this very segment so someone can enjoy a little Marcy mania. Hello, my guy Matt Mervis, big ding-dong last night for the Reno Aces. Nice to see Merv Papa getting the home run column. Out on the West Coast. Very excited for him. So today's National Radio Day, and we appreciate you spending some of your radio listening time with us. Does not go unappreciated. We know that there's a lot of options out there for content, but we appreciate you making time for the Hockman, Crowder, and Solana show. And of course, Jimmy makes up a big part of it, and we enjoy doing it. On National Radio Day, and I should probably, you know, stick to sports because it's a sports station. But I did see something that I saw thought was interesting, and I figure out for National Radio Day, let's do what we do, which is bad radio. I had actually thought about playing our radio interceptions today. We're just not going to have time. But man, to me, like, that's radio.
I enjoy radio. It. Marlon
radio
Shirley.
Is getting names wrong and Marlon Shirley and all that stuff. But I did see, I don't know if you follow Culture Crave. They've got like a million followers on Twitter, but they did. Don't look at it. The highest selling game consoles of all time for video games. Do you know, do you have a guess at what the best selling video game? Now Jimmy's putting his headphones on. Jimmy's like, you know what? I'm engaged on this one. You lost me with the perk backup quarterback column. You lost me with the Schlereth talk. Video game consoles. Jimmy's locked in. I've never seen him this excited.
Let's do it.
What do you think? What do you? I'll start with you, Jimmy. What do you think is the greatest selling video game console of all time?
I am going to
Jimmy's. Jimmy's the biggest gamer on the show. He should know this.
Well, no, he claims to be the biggest gamer on this show, but we found out that he doesn't actually play video games. So
I thought he plays video games all day.
No.
Well, what do you think is the best selling console of all time?
I am going to say the Sega Genesis.
Sega Genesis. You want to take a guess, Crowder?
PlayStation 1.
PlayStation 1, Solana's shaking his head at both as if he knows. Solana, what do you think?
I know this answer. I am the biggest gamer on the show. It's not even a question. The best-selling console of all time is the PlayStation 2, released in 2002 or 2001, I believe.
He is correct. It is the PlayStation 2. That shocked me because I didn't know that. I guess it was such an upgrade from the 1. Is that what?
By far, and people still around the globe play PlayStation 2, and you can still purchase PlayStation 2 games. Most of it is black market stuff, but it's still one of the most used consoles around the world. I'm not kidding, especially in third world
black
countries.
Market.
Yeah,
it's like drugs.
Burn.
You got to get on the dark web to get joust.
To get a play. He saw this article. He's acting like he knows this.
It's PlayStation ridiculous. 2, according to Culture Crave, Dr. Lascano texting me Atari. Yeah, you're dating ourselves there, Dr. Lascano. PlayStation 2 has sold over 160 million units.
Ooh. Yeah.
PlayStation 1, which you guessed, Crowder, is number six on the list.
You know, it's GameCube.
102 million.
What about GameCube? Because that was huge. That Nintendo GameCube thing?
GameCube was never huge. Oh, no. GameCube was never huge.
GameCube probably would have cracked Nintendo's top 10.
No, 64.
I think GameCube was a failure.
The 64 with the Mario Kart on it.
Yeah.
That's not on there?
Nintendo 64 is not on there.
Wow. Oh, man. You know what? I don't know. These nerds know. Solana, what's your guess?
For number two, it's a Nintendo. It's either the Switch or that'd be my guess. The Nintendo Switch.
How old are you?
Nintendo Switch is number three.
Hmm. So what's two? DS?
That's right. Nintendo D's.
Wait, is it DS or Game Boy?
DS.
Okay.
Game Boy and Game Boy Color are number four.
Yeah.
Number five is PS4.
Game Boy Colored.
You had that?
Think I should get one free.
My Game Boy was black and white. It was like gray blocks. I told you this. When I moved into an apartment, I had just graduated. I was living in West Palm Beach. I was single, and I was going to rent an apartment. It was like between one apartment and the other. And this one apartment offered, if you signed a one-year lease, a Nintendo Game Boy. So I was like, oh, well, I'll take that. And, I mean, it was like gray blocks. I played Tetris. I mean, I thought it was the greatest sign-up bonus of all time.
that's a weird bonus, a Game Boy.
PS4 is number five. The original PlayStation is number six. The Wii is number seven.
Game changer.
That was a game changer. That Wii was tennis. Around DJ's. That was DJ's vibe. Like Wii, like you could actually play sports, feel like you're doing it. Yeah.
Wii tennis, Wii bowling. Woo-hoo. Oh, I mean, mess. Come on.
Yeah. PlayStation 3 is number eight. Xbox 360, number nine.
Mm.
Game Boy Advance, number 10. I don't even know what that is.
Never heard of. I had a PlayStation 1. What was that, like middle school?
PS1 came out in mid-90s, I think.
Yeah, late so 90s. I think I remember I was in middle school.
I still have my PS1.
Because
I have all these.
The plug-in, it wasn't HDMI. Whatever the plug-in was only worked in my mom's bedroom because our... It was
like the red, white, and yellow blue cable.
Yeah. So my mom's in her bedroom only had that, so I could only play my PlayStation if my mom wasn't in her room. So it was a weird window between getting home from school and her coming home that I could play my PlayStation.
Am I a hoarder? I have kept every single gaming console in my entire life, and I was
I wish
very spoiled.
I did.
I'm very
I wish
spoiled.
I did.
My parents bought me all of them.
Yeah, I had the Atari.
Grown men.
I had the Atari 2600 when I was a kid. Then I got Intellivision. Then I got ColecoVision. I mean, you want to talk about the big three? That's the big three. Atari 2600. In television and ColecoVision. That I'd put that big three up against any big three anything in the history of the world.
But combined, those consoles had 12 games.
No, they had a ton of games, but they all did the same thing, and they were all just dots. ColecoVision was a game changer.
This is something that Solana, it's weird because Solana, you're not the only one. Why do y'all grown-ass 30-year-olds take so much pride in, I have my PlayStation 1? Who gives a damn?
I'm 55, and I've looked at buying Atari 2600s on eBay.
For
like,
what?
I want those consoles back.
Why?
Oh, little Intellivision blackjack, Intellivision horse racing. There was a little side button. You could whip the horse, and you'd hear it. I swear to God, look it up on Google. In television horse racing, you can't believe I did this for hours. You know, my brother and I'd be sitting there and like You're trying to put some body English in it?
Whipping the horse.
All right, 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour is coming up.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
You know who never just kind of mails it in?
Who?
The Costco guys.